are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
So what does this look like when we're worshiping in the waiting? We realize that this time of Advent, when you're sitting here, you're thinking about, you're waiting for Christmas. You're waiting for, some of you are waiting for Christmas break. We're anticipating the new year. We have some great excitement about this, and we wanted to intentionally design this Advent series around different words for worship. And last week, if you were here, if you missed it, you should go watch it. It was a great sermon by Adam, but he talked about the word shakah, which meant to bow down, to prostrate yourself, and be fully submitted, fully surrendered to God. And it's what we saw the Magi do. That's the word that was used when they approached Jesus as a young child or as an infant there. They were fully, fully surrendered to what God wanted them to do. Fully surrendered to serving them. And today we introduce another really powerful Hebrew word. And wouldn't you know it, I started recognizing this more and more in my everyday life this week. I started recognizing the areas that this was impacting me as your pastor. And so the word is todah. Not ta-da, toda. Ta-da. No, toda. And it means thanksgiving. It's praising before the answer comes. I am praying to God and praising him for the Lewiston church plant. Before we have all of the stuff, before we had everything figured out, we don't know where our building's going to be. We're not really concerned that much about the building. We're praising him for the people that are going to be a part of that. We're praising him for the resources that are going to be a part of that. We're praising him for the small groups that are going to be started before they're even started right now. We're praising him before this. We have faith that God is going to show up. And at the root of this word, it also means to throw up to extend your hands when you're praising and worship. Some of you weirdos were raising your hands during worship just now. Me too. We could have just kept doing that as far as I was concerned. But it means to praise, to like throw up your hands. Like, God, I believe what I'm saying. I believe what I'm doing. The word carries a unique emphasis on thanksgiving as an act of faith and sacrifice. Unlike just simple gratitude, todah involves elements of confession, of acknowledging who God is and his truth, praise, boasting about him. I'm going to shout it from the mountains who God is and what he's doing. And sacrifice, offering thanks even in the hardship. Often it symbolizes agreement with God's promises even before they are fully visible and have happened. So right now as a church, we are todahing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are waiting, believing that Jesus Christ is going to return because his word says he's going to return. And so we are praising him while we're waiting. And we've been doing that for a long time, have we not? Generations, lifetimes. Many people consider this type of worship, this todah type of worship, the highest form because it requires faith over just feelings. Praising God for what will be, not just for what is today. And some of us know this kind of worship. God's helped me pay attention to it this week. I'm happy to hand this off to you now. No, I think I'm going to keep paying attention. This week I had to acknowledge that I was todahing in several situations. One of the situations that I'm waiting for his answer in is the health of my mom. My mom is an amazingly beautiful and wonderful and funny lady. She has all these one-liners. She is fantastic. But she was recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia. And she's in a care home. She fell and broke her hip. She's in a care home, and she's never going to probably leave that home. And when I got to talk to her at Thanksgiving, she's like, "Hey, you were in my wedding." I know for some of you, you're like, "Yeah, my kids were in my wedding." But I was not. I was not in her wedding. She does not really recognize me anymore. And so here I am, praising God in the waiting for when he's going to take my mom. This week as well, my aunt's dad, I call him Grandpa Carl Gimlin, he was 99 years old, and they came over to his house. He's stubborn, still living at his own house, and 99 years old is like, I ain't leaving. And his wife had passed away. He would wake up every morning angry that he wasn't with the Lord because he wanted to be with his wife who had passed away 20 or 30 years before him. Not angry, but, you know, darn it, got to do this again. So they found him, and he had fallen, and then they took him to the hospital, and they figured out, like, he had this really ravenous cancer. And so we were praying and the waiting. I found all this right after Thanksgiving. It happened on Thanksgiving. And we were praising and the waiting, the pain he was going through, all those things, and he ended up passing away on Tuesday the 2nd. And he is reunited. His best day of his life just happened. And he's reunited. But see, I was todahing. I don't even know if that's a word, but we can call it one now. I was praising God as I'm waiting for Grandpa Carl. We're also todahing and praising and the waiting for a healthy grandson. And we had a healthy grandson named Beckett. He was born on the 3rd. Yeah, we're excited. 6 pounds, 15 ounces. Beckett's doing well now. His mom had a couple complications, and she's doing well now in their home and figuring out what it looks like. But so we're praising. Before it happened, I didn't know that he was going to be a healthy baby. I didn't know how my daughter was going to do that, but I was praising God for those things before they happened. So what makes these moments so powerful? And really, it isn't the moment that the prayer was answered. It's the worship that came in the waiting. It's the Todah. Todah invites us to praise God in the waiting, not just after the blessing comes. And it's the heart of Advent where we're waiting. Israel waited for generations. There was, remember the years of silence between our Older Testament and our Newer Testament where they're like, it's very quiet. We're not hearing anything. And generation after generation, they praised in the waiting of Messiah. But they continued to believe God's promise. Do you continue to believe God's promise in his text and in your life? And Advent teaches us that hope is born while we worship and we praise in the darkness. We worship while we wait. It's in the Older Testament 32 times this word is. And Psalm 50 says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of todah, of praising him while we wait. And the one who offers todah, the one who praises God before things happen, it says in verse 23, the one who offers todah glorifies me. See, todah is not convenient praise. It's costly. It's the kind of worship we bring when the prayer isn't answered yet, when the relationship isn't fixed yet, when the job you don't have the job yet, or healing hasn't come. That's where I'm at with my mom. Todah says, God, I trust you even when I can't see the answer yet. We see it in our Older Testament in Daniel 3:16 in the bold response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when their King Nebuchadnezzar wants them to bow to the golden statue and he threatens to throw them in a blazing furnace. And these three young men calmly say they do not need to defend themselves in this matter. They confidently declare that their God is able to save them and deliver them from the furnace and from the king's hand. But even if he doesn't rescue us, they will never worship that God or that king's God. Their faith is unconditional. They will obey God no matter the outcome, even if it costs them their lives. And this is one of the clearest Old Testament pieces of text about the power of Todah, of praising before. It's combining the submission to God's will and his purpose, regardless of what happens to them physically. Our God is able to deliver, but even if he does not, we will still not bow down to your God. Todah is worship with no guarantees. It's worshiping even if he doesn't. And here we are. This is the root of our faith as a church. We are people who are worshiping in the waiting for his return, for Jesus. And we're celebrating his birth right now, and we're still continuing to worship in the waiting. And we raise our hands not just for what God has done, but for what he has promised to do. And sometimes, your worship comes through the strength of those around you. When your hands are too heavy to raise, the burdens are too heavy, you're not to do life alone. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to isolate you. He wants you to hide. He wants you to feel shame and guilt and all those things. He wants you to Christmas is a rough time for a lot of people. But not for people who are in community. If your hands are too heavy to raise, someone else's voice helps your heart rise again. Ta-da. We see this also in our Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Get those K's in there. And so here's what happens in this book, this small book of the prophet. Habakkuk looks around Judah, and all he sees is violence, injustice, and corruption and evil among God's people. He says, cries out, "Lord, how long? Why aren't you doing anything?" He says in the book. How can a holy God use a nation more evil than us to accomplish his purposes? And God answers, "The righteous will live by faith." And this picture is completed of complete desolation. There are no figs on the trees. There's no crops in the ground. This isn't just like an idea or cute poetry. They have been destroyed. There is nothing. If we all went home, we all went out to your cars and there was no gas in there, and you all had to walk, and you walked home and there was no food in there, and then you went to the grocery store and there was nothing in there, and then you went to your neighbors and there was nothing in there, and there was nothing everywhere. No figs, no grapes, no olives, no fields, no sheep, no cattle. And here's what he says. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." This is not denial. It's defiant hope. Todah is declaring that God is worthy even when life is empty. Now, let's see a beautiful example of Todah in our Newer Testament. And we're going to talk about Mary. And we're going to look at Mary's song that she sings. And I want you to get into the shoes of Mary. I want you to understand what she is getting ready to receive and hear from the angel Gabriel. So picture yourself, ladies, you're 14 to 16 years old. You come from a nothing, nobody town called Nazareth. What good could come from Nazareth, really? You are not wealthy. The offerings you bring to the temple are those of the lower class people. You are not highly educated. You are not adorned in gold living in Jerusalem. You kind of don't even count. Except God, the Father in heaven, says you do. She's coming from a nothing town, not highly educated. She's a humble girl from a humble family, but Mary learned to worship before anything was fulfilled. Before she was safe, before she had answers, before Joseph understood, and before she had any evidence. You think about the evidence of what is told to Mary? Like, we don't find out until like 20 weeks whether or not it's a boy or a girl, right? The angel's like, it's going to be a boy. Cool. He's going to be the king of the world, king of the universe. Like, she already knows his job, what his job is going to be before he's born. And Mary shows us that hope isn't silent, that hope sings. Tada is the hope with a melody. So let's look at this part of this Christmas story. You might have heard the song called Mary's Magnificat. And that name comes from a Latin word, which means the very first words of her song, which means my soul magnifies. My soul, when you're looking at me, it magnifies what God is doing. And we had a great men's breakfast yesterday. One of our guys spoke passionately about an audience of one, and that your life should matter to the audience of one, the King Jesus. Amen? You should magnify what it looks like to walk with Jesus. I wanted to throw in verse 45 here for us as well. Let's take a look at Luke 1. We're going to do 45 through 55. 45 is kind of right before her song. And here's what it says. It says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Todah. Before they were fulfilled, she believed it. And here is Mary's song. Here is what she said. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. This is a 14 to a 16-year-old girl with nobody or nothing. And she's been told that she is going to be with a child. This has never happened in the history of all time. Adam was spoken into existence from the Lord. Eve was crafted out of his rib or around. And then we have the rest of society, right? Cain and Abel and everybody, they came through the same way you guys came through. But this has never happened before. Yes, we've had Hannah and we've had Sarah. We've had people that were older and with child. You know, God made that happen. But this is being conceived as a virgin. There was no interaction with a male to provide this baby. And Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Do you know what would happen if you're pregnant out of wedlock in the first century? That's not good. You have a very difficult road in front of you, and this is a 14 and 16-year-old girl who didn't do anything wrong. And this is how she's responding. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Not holy is Mary's name. Holy is his name. Holy, like we should remember Mary because of her Todah, because of how she passionately worshipped and believed before the miracle happened. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and the descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. She's living in the promise of the future and acting it out before it even happened. This part of the Christmas story is a beautiful representation of the word Todah, to praise, to worship in the waiting. Give you five simple points about the word Todah I thought were interesting. Todah is both in posture and in action. Spoken praises, lifted hands, a declaration of trust. It moves your mouth and your body into worship, even though nothing has changed. Todah is thanksgiving before the answer, gratitude rooted in God's character, not visible results. God, I trust you. I trust you now. even before I see it happen. Lord, I trust you that there's going to be a service like this in Lewiston with hundreds and hundreds of people that are going to accept you. There's going to be baptisms that are happening like after this service that's going to happen in Lewiston. You're providing the people. You're providing the resources. I already believe it and trust it. I'm to dying. I don't know who it is. Maybe somebody's in here is going to just finish off for 100 grand. I don't know. But I know that the Lord is going to move. Tada builds community. Public praise strengthens the faith of others. When one person thanks God in waiting, hope spread. This is cool. I didn't catch this on the first time I read it in Psalm 50. But Tada is a spiritual weapon. I didn't even know I had this weapon. Did you know that you had a spiritual weapon in the word of Todah? Psalm 50, 23 says, whoever offers Todah, I will show them the salvation of God. Praising God before the battle is over positions our hearts to be in a position to accept the victory. I think of Moses with Aaron and Hur, you know, like his arms, oh, we're losing. Boom, arms go back up. Faith, even when the numbers don't add up. Tada is a choice. It's not a special gift you have to go search for. It's a choice in your life. An intentional, sacrificial, deliberate choice. Practicing Tada. You know what it does within you? It creates steadiness. It creates resilience. It creates hope that isn't fragile. Now, as we think about it corporately, it's not just a personal decision. It's something we do corporately. 2 Chronicles 29:31. Then Hezekiah said, you have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and todah, thank offerings, to the temple of the Lord. So the assembly, us, brought sacrifices and todah, thank offerings, and all of those whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings. It shows that people bringing thank offerings in the same way your worship is your presence in a church service. You all brought an offering today, and it might not have been in your pocketbook. You brought an offering out of your mouth to worship. You maybe lifted your hands. Your voice can offer a thank offering. You know, in the Old Testament, we see it in Leviticus, it was voluntary. It was also personal, flowing from the worshiper's heart. It was expressive, accompanied by songs or public testimonies. It was faith-filled. It was offered before they had received. In our newer Testament, we see this as words of worship, songs of praise, public testimonies, giving generously, serving with gratitude, and obeying even when it's costly. So for some of you guys today, your todah, your offering, your thank offering, was just showing up. You didn't want to be here today. There's lots of good football games on. But you're here. Sometimes it's singing and praising God through your tears. And I know I've had those moments here where I'm praising God through my tears. Things are difficult. And sometimes just lifting your hands is that sacrifice. You're reaching out to your Father. Have you thought about this? I thought about this question this week. Is God blessed by your worship? You feel like God is blessed by your worship? I know we always think, like, God bless America, right? But how about, like, America bless God? Do you think that your Father in heaven is blessed by your worship? I don't want you to think about this. If we're created in his image, are you blessed by your children's adoration toward you? Are you blessed by when your children, how many people are going to get the privilege of going to a choir concert this year? Children's choir concert. Yeah. Right? And you got little Jimmy over there, and he's just Charlie Brown in it. And what's mom and dad doing? That's my Jimmy. I remember this one time my son Jacob wanted to give a gift to his mom. And he made this awesome step stool. And it was painted white. And it was 4 2x6 boards that were like a foot tall. And when he made them, he put two boards here, and then he put two boards directly on them. So it gave my wife at least like 2 inches of a step stool. And he was so excited to show his mom, like, look what I got for you, mom. I made you a step stool. And you were like trying to figure out, like, step stool. It's like two pieces of wood screwed together. Like, and so eventually we fixed it and we flipped it up to its side so she could get like 7 inches of a step stool. But like, we felt really blessed. And I'm sure mom felt really blessed that her little boy wanted to bring something to the table. You don't bless God through perfection. You bless God by offering. By offering, by showing up. Now think about how we could miss Todah. How could you miss this worshiping and the waiting, and what would that do? Maybe we were waiting for circumstances to improve before we offered our worship. Maybe we were interpreting God's delays. We were interpreting the delays as silence rather than God shaping and forming us in those darker times. Maybe we miss Todah when we treat worship as a reaction instead of a heartfelt response. Maybe we miss Todah when we're complaining about what's missing instead of what blessing remains. Maybe we miss this act of worship, this Todah, when we confuse God's goodness with our comfort. You know, like, his goal isn't to make you comfortable. Maybe we miss Todah when we can only see the problem, not the provider. Maybe we miss Todah when we forget that gratitude is a spiritual weapon. And that this invites us to excavate God's past faithfulness to strengthen our present and future hopes. Amen? Amen. Do you have a faithful God? Has he been faithful in your life? I mean, you've won the lottery. You already live in America, just so you know. You're in like the top 2% of the world. We have a faithful God. And here's the cool thing about this. In the waiting is where we often encounter the intimacy of Jesus. In the waiting is where we often encounter the intimacy of Jesus. When it costs more to worship in anguish. When it costs more to praise when things don't make sense or if you're in confusion. And because it costs more, the intimacy grows deeper. Todah is not just a praise. It is an actual encounter with God. It's not passive either. Todah is participating. Romans 8, 24 and 25 reminds us in this way, "For in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we will wait for it patiently." Many of you are in the spot where you're to dying. Here's the equation: waiting plus hope, but waiting plus worship equals hope. Todah forms hope. It strengthens hope, and it carries hope. So what does this look like in your life? Cool word, Josh. There are some marriages, I would imagine, in here today that have been to die. You might be just hoping to make it through Christmas so you don't ruin the kids' Christmas. And after the first of the year, that's it. No, that's not it. Ta-da might be the pain and sorrow and sadness of a lost child. And this is a hard time of year for you. Where in your life do you need praise before the answer? Is it in your family relationships? Is it with your health? I was to-dying this week with my health. I got no reason to not feel great because I've been trying to take care of myself physically. I had 2 anxiety attacks this week. Like, I know it's not my heart. I just got off the stair climber for an hour. And I got home, and my chest starts like feeling weird. Check my blood pressure. It's high. I took my blood pressure medication. Like, what's going on? And so my wife and I, we put our yoga mats together. We started stretching and listening to worship music. There's so much good TV on, too. We could have watched some good TV, but instead we did that. Like, I'm worshiping God in the waiting. Show me. Wait, I think he wants to teach me something. Maybe it's with your finances. Maybe it's a long, unanswered prayer. We've had a prayer request, a couple prayer requests that have come in since I can remember being here, of praying for a lost son. 12, 13 years, still hasn't been answered yet. But you know what? The mom doesn't stop to dying. She's faithful to continue to ask. Maybe it's through heavy grief. And so I'd ask you this, where is God inviting you to lift your hands again? What does it look like to ta-da? What does it look like to let someone else come alongside you and lift your hands? So here's my challenge for you this week, this practice. I want you to find one ta-da moment every day. Does everybody, have I said ta-da enough times? Do we understand? That's praising in the waiting. That's praising in like when you don't have the answer. I want you to find something one time a day. I want you to acknowledge that. I want you to be praising that. Just one moment where you say, Jesus, thank you for what I cannot see. Thank you for what I cannot see. And here's why. Ta-da is not about results. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Join me as I close in prayer, and then we'll dive into communion together. Jesus, I thank you for what I have not seen yet. Teach me to worship in the waiting. Meet me in the places that feel really uncertain and weird. Grow in me not only just a faith in you, but a faith of you. Help me choose hope. Help me choose trust. Help me choose to ta-da, to worship in the waiting. Say that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take this opportunity to head to the Lord's table in communion. If you did not grab one here, I see some new faces here. Raise your hand. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are invited to this table. If not, you're not missing a quality piece of bread or some amazing juice. We'd love to talk to you about that. We'd love to celebrate with you. We're going to celebrate 3 people today that are going to get baptized for the first time. Or they're going to get baptized. That are making this decision. But, you know, at our church, we believe that we come to the table that we were, it was modeled for us to learn how to surrender to Shekah, to fully surrender to God. Surrender to His will, to His purpose. And it was modeled for us to Todah. Even when it doesn't look good, no matter if we get the answer we want, we still believe. And this is why we believe. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread, and we had given thanks. He broke it and He said, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we remember who you are, and we wait in anticipation for when you're coming back. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." You are todahing that He is going to come back. You are believing that He is going to come back. And we proclaim that together. Thanks again, Almighty Father, for this time. Thank you for the hearts and minds that are here. May this be a blessed week upon your people. May you guide them in their paths. May they recognize the answered prayers and the miracles that you're doing, from the tiniest of things to the greatest of things. May they feel your presence. May they draw upon your glory. Remind us, Lord, of your greatness, and remind us, Lord, that you want our offering. Lord, that you want us to reach for you spiritually and even physically, to reach for you, Father, because we believe in you. We believe in your purpose and your plans. Thank you for calling us part of your family. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.